We have Marbs from the Desert Hearts crew on the line, and he heads the Desert Arts program, creates the Desert Hearts Records album artwork, and he will also be DJing at the spring edition of Desert Hearts happening April 1st to April 4th. So you must be pretty busy right now preparing for the festival.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. And yeah, everything's been pretty crazy. We just got done with our City Hearts winter tour. And seeing that this is the first year that we've all been going on tour, planning the festival has been pretty crazy doing that. And then also being on the road, trying to do logistics and curating all of the artists and DJs and all of that. So yeah, it's been pretty wild right now.
So you mentioned this is your third year and you've been throwing two parties a year. How have you seen the festival change and grow over the years?
It's been exponential. Our first party was very, very small. It was an illegal renegade party out in the Mojave Desert, and it was basically just us going out with our friends and camping and bringing out some good sound. We kind of wanted to get out of the bar and festival thing and just go camp with our friends and have a good time and play the music that we wanted. We've been kind of going around to other desert parties, and there'd be really cool elements, but maybe the music wasn't exactly what we wanted or this or that. So one day we kind of said, well, why don't we all just go out and do our own thing? It worked out really well. We had some hiccups. The sound didn't show up the first day, and it was like 25 degrees and this and that. So it actually turned out to be a really cool story, because that first night, when there wasn't any sound, it kind of made everyone that didn't know each other huddle around a fire, and we had a friend playing a banjo, and everyone was kind of telling stories around the campfire, which actually turned to be like a blessing in disguise, because everyone got to meet each other and get close before the party actually started happening. So when the sound got there, everyone felt closer to each other, and it was really cool. That was kind of when we realized that it was something special and we should keep doing it. So we did another one, went out to Apple Valley and did a couple other ones, and each one has just been exponential. And from 300 to about 1,000, and then I think it went to about 1,500, and then all the way up until 3,000. And now we're touring around on our own City Hearts project. We've started our own label, and the festival has turned into a very special community that we hold very close to our hearts.
That's so awesome. You must be really proud of yourself for creating all of this beautiful festival and record label. It's awesome.
We're just really, really blessed to be able to meet all these incredible people. We kind of have this theory that life's a mirror, and you put good energy into it, it's like a magnet, and you kind of attract good energy, and the people and the art and the mindsets amongst the people that we've met. It's really infectious, and it seems to be like a snowball effect, so we're blessed. The people are just as big, if not a bigger part, than us five behind the scenes.
So you're in charge of all the art and live painting at the festival?
Yeah. I'm kind of like the art coordinator for the festival, and then I hand draw most of the art for the record label. There's been a couple that I've done like collaborations with other artists. Dance Spirit, Christopher from Dance Spirit, he's also an artist, so when he released on the record label, we had fun kind of collaborating and sending stuff back and forth. But as far as the festival goes, we run an application process so that the public can apply for free access to the festival in exchange for them to come and either live paint or build an installation, or if they have a fun performance art or things like that, we run applications and then pretty much invite as many as we can fit. We get a lot of applicants, and it's hard not to let them all in, but because the quality of all the applications is really, really good, pretty much try to pack out the place with as much art as we can. And then we also work with a gentleman named, we call him Mountain, his name's Michael Nattenkemper, and he helps me a lot with some of the more, like the artists that we fly in, some artists that have to take planes and are a little bit more like traveling and hired artists. And we do a little gallery, and he's in charge of the gallery, which he calls a Dreamscape Collective. So I work really closely with him while overseeing all of the art and curating it. I have Christopher McKay, or Christoph as we call him. He also helps out with a lot of the art installations and stuff like that. But I've been an artist my entire life. Way before I got into music, I was drawing and painting, and I've always surrounded myself with art. And so when we started doing festivals, it kind of held a special place in my heart to be involved with the art curation. So I tried to surround myself with that as much as I can.
What other aspects of the festival do you coordinate?
I do a lot of logistical stuff as far as like organizing, staffing and crews and some of the behind the scenes work. I work alongside one of our good friends and coworkers. Her name's Perception. We met her through the Burning Man community, and we work together in curating like all the staffing, the volunteers, and as far as just kind of the behind the scenes stuff, as far as running the festival and making sure that all the legalities are in place and all of the logistics are accounted for, making sure the staffing is proper. I handle a lot of the stuff with the tribe, but our group kind of, we spread each other out pretty evenly. We all distribute the work pretty well, and we all have our things that we focus on. Mikey's our marketing guru, and he's amazing at everything that he does. And Christoph, he does a lot of the build crew and the art, the performance art, like fire and all of that. And I'm a little bit more on like the visual live painting and art installation in that realm. I helped with the box office for a while. Something that's interesting about our group is we've bootstrapped this whole project. We don't have any outside investors, so we've kind of been doing everything ourselves. So we're kind of been groomed into, for lack of a better term, jack of all trades. We all can kind of pick up on certain things. I help with the finances and stuff like that. But now that we're touring, we're starting to find that we need to build more teams for the festival and things like that, so that when we're on tour, the festival starts running itself. So that's kind of a transition that we're going through right now, where we're, as our community has grown, we're empowering and building these teams so that they kind of curate on their own. Like I said earlier, we brought on Michael Nattenkemper for the art, and he's done a really, really beautiful job with our art gallery. And we're kind of grooming him into being kind of the artistic director for when I'm on tour DJing. And then I mentioned Perception. She's kind of taking over a lot of the logistics and behind-the-scenes work. She works with Utopia and Burning Man and a lot of organizations, and just really, really intelligent, really smart person. And she's starting to build. She has her team, and we have a traffic team that's starting to have reliable people that are building up into their own team. So we're kind of grooming the festival into something that kind of turns into a living organism, where they know the dates, they know that they need to be ready, and the teams start formulating themselves so that we can focus more on vision and focus on our passions and kind of the direction of the whole project. So we're learning a lot. It's been a crazy ride through the last three, it's going to be 4 years in November, and a lot of stuff's happened, especially with now that we're going on tour and started the City Arts Project and the label and everything. So, you know, we kind of do a lot.
And how do you select what songs will make it to your festival playlist?
Porky always says this, and it's true about all of us, but all year you'll kind of find tracks that are really, really special and really, really good, but you want to save them for Desert Hearts. And we'll kind of have like our own little secret Desert Hearts playlists, and it's kind of something that we try to find tracks for all the time, because something beautiful about the Desert Hearts experience is that the crowd is very receptive of a lot of different kinds of music, where sometimes in a club, not to say that they're not receptive, but sometimes a club environment receives music in a different way than outdoor under the stars and with a bunch of people that are, I mean, there's no closing of any rules, or you're not enclosed into like a space. So you can play a lot of different kinds of music. You can really take the crowd on a journey. So when I'm picking out tracks, I like to focus on my set being something that's not going to be the same tone the whole time, and not going to be something that's all peak and all low, but more something that's going to kind of catch your attention and take you on a little ride. A lot of times my sets won't start, or they won't end in the same place they start. Kind of take the mood around a little bit and come in peaks and come in lows, and I like it to be a little, I like there to be movement amongst the time that the set's going on. So while I'm picking out my tracks, I like to have a variety of it so that it kind of tells a story.
And if you could do a back-to-back set with anyone, who would it be and where would it be?
A back-to-back set with anyone, where it would be? It would be Burning Man. I don't know what camp or what stage. It would have to, it's more about the vibe and the people than the exact camp, but I would want it to be a Burning Man. And the person, that's a really tough one. Maybe Lee Burridge, if it was going to be something like around sunset or sunrise, because he was one of my main inspirations when I was always into electronic music, but like a lot of people, I didn't find this specific sound until later on. And Lee Burridge was the first person that I heard this kind of like house and techno and really, really good quality electronic music. So he had a huge influence in my life. So that would be really crazy. We play a lot of different styles, but if I had the opportunity, I would definitely love to do that. On the other spectrum, if it was like at night, late night, kind of more like a techno type vibe, maybe Jamie Jones. He's blown me away every single time I've seen him. So that would be really, really cool too.
Yeah, I was reading about how you saw Lee Burridge's set that kind of changed your perception of music. Going off of that, are there like one or two tracks that changed how you perceived music as well?
It was more than the track, what it was. The first experience I had that changed it, I've actually had multiple experiences with Lee Burridge that have been pivotal in where my sound has gone. The first one was the very first time I got into this, and that was at Love Fest in San Francisco when they still did the Burning Man art cars that came down the main road, and then they did like a little parade around the Civic Center, and then they all parked, and each one was kind of an art car, and one of them had Lee Burridge on it. And it was the first time that I had ever heard music that encompassed all of the genres that I've grown up to love so much, jazz, rock, dance music, hip hop, reggae, like it really, really good house and tech house and techno. It seems to have influences from all different kinds of music and sounds that you hear. That first experience, the layers of not knowing the tracks, was actually what I liked. So a specific track was kind of the opposite of what got me into this music, is because of that point when you're lost and you can't follow a track. Was what was so inspiring to me, the layering of all these different instruments and these different sounds that reminded you of memories of growing up and listening to all different kinds of music, but then all of a sudden these sounds coming together and making a new kind of music and being layered on top of each other infinitely was just an amazing experience. And then going out to Burning Man, my first sunrise at Robot Heart, watching Lee Burridge at Burning Man was unspeakable. That was a very, very, very pivotal experience as well. And coming back from that, before our first Burning Man, we were still doing a lot of bar and club parties before we had ever done Desert Hearts or anything. And coming back from Burning Man, it really flipped us on our side, both musically and the way we thought about how we needed to contribute and really do something special with a community.
What are some of your musical goals for this year?
We've already done North America which would include Canada and Mexico, but we really want to bridge out internationally. We really want to get over across the pond and go over to Europe and Spain and South America. And the City Hearts project has just opened our eyes at how ready people are in different areas to really experience this vibe and this love and this energy that we're so adamant and so feel so strongly about. And before we went on our first tour, we had obviously some nerves and some worries of like how certain markets would do and everything. And everywhere we've gone has had a beautiful community of their own that has their own vibe and their own culture. And while they have their own culture, they still have connected with ours, and we've felt at home, and it's been a beautiful experience everywhere we've gone. So having those experiences has made us have the goal of taking the Sea Hearts project as far as we can, taking it across seas and to different countries and to different communities, and to use City Hearts as a platform to maybe build a culture in these communities that is similar to Desert Hearts. And eventually, if everything goes how we want it, eventually we want to have boutique festivals around the world. So a lot of people ask us how we're going to handle the growth of the Desert Hearts Festival in San Diego, and we've pretty much stopped the growth in San Diego. We want to cap the capacity where it is, about 3,500 people, maybe 4,000 at the absolute max, and then use the City Hearts platform to start growing these communities in other areas so that we can have other similar boutique festivals in other areas. In places that can't have festivals, we also want to try to do block parties and kind of change the electronic music culture within other communities like we have in San Diego, and really just try to spread love and music and good energy.
That's so awesome. We're looking forward to seeing Desert Hearts and City Hearts spread across the world. And thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And also, thank you for spreading the love of the festival to our listeners. We're going to be doing a giveaway a little later on in the show, so I know they're going to be really appreciative of that, whoever ends up winning this pair of tickets.
So. Awesome. Well, it was an absolute pleasure to talk with you, and hopefully we get to talk again soon.
Yeah, looking forward to
Desert Hearts.
Yes.
All right. Much love.
Much love.
Have a good night.